Very happy to welcome in, as you heard in the intro, our NFL insider, Jason Lacanfora from CBS Sports. Jason, as always, appreciate this. Was following you on Twitter yesterday. That was a rather emphatic win for the New England Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they do. I mean, they, you know, you may beat them. You may catch them on a bad day, but you're going to have to be a pretty good team to do it. And if you're a mediocre team that plays kind of flat, kind of quasi-intimidated, if you're not really up for the fight, then they will expose you, and they will expose you badly on, I was going to say national television, but international television. And that's what happened to the Texans last night. That was one-way traffic, really, from the start to the finish. And it's embarrassing for the Houston Texans. I thought Houston would lose. I thought they'd put up a little better fight against, you know, Jacoby Brissett. And considering Gronk played what was basically just a decoy, and they're still figuring out their offensive line, and they're still down one of their you know, prominent running backs, and they're still without one of their top three defensive players in Ninkovich. And to whip them like that, you know, look, I've been saying this, you know, since they even came on with you guys sporadically in the offseason, this whole narrative about the AFC South and, whoa, look out now, and, man, they, you know, look at the draft the Texans had. Ooh, wow, look at all that speed in Jacksonville. Until somebody in that division shows me they can win more than 6 or 7 games a year on a regular basis, you can consider me an agnostic. I am a non-believer. And when it comes to Brock Osweiler, I am a non-believer. If he proves me wrong, and I hope he does, he seems like a great kid, I don't see it. I don't see $40 million guaranteed. I see a guy who can look pretty good against bad teams and who, when it's time to elevate, when it's time to be transcendent, when the stage rises, I don't know that he's going to meet it. I don't know if there's a whole lot of difference between Brock Osweiler and Brian Hoyer or Josh McCown or a bunch of quarterbacks of that stature.
And certainly when you pay him the money that you, they yeah, paid him like a number one quarterback.
Yeah. No, the difference is, you know, by the end of the month of September, Osweiler will have made more than those other two make combined all year. So, yeah, that's the problem.
So, okay, Houston does not play well last night. They get exposed big time by the Patriots. 3 games into the season, what do you see them as this year? Are they the favorite to win that division, even though it's not a great division? How do you see Houston going forward?
I think you can make a case for anybody in that division, and I don't really think it matters who wins, because whoever it is will host a playoff game, and then they will get systematically emasculated by a pretty good wild card team. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a team like the Jets who come in as a wild card, because the Jets aren't going to catch them. They're not going to beat the Patriots. You know, the Patriots are going to win that division. The Jets go into Houston in the first round of the playoffs. They will do to them what Kansas City did to them last year. You know, I just think that's their reality. They've got a few good players, but things get inflated because you're playing so many of your games against inept football teams. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. You know, I mean, the defense is pretty good. It's not what people were making out to be after 2 weeks, you know. It's clear Watt's back is still screwed up. Clowney has lots of ability. It doesn't show down after down, snap after snap. You know, Merciless is having a nice season. The linebacking core, okay, they're guys. They play in the league. Like, they're all right. I'm still not a big believer in their secondary. I just think a lot of people got really carried away over the first 2 weeks. The team they played week one, the Bears, I mean, the Bears are awful. And that was a struggle for 3.5 quarters. And even Kansas City gave them the ball 4 times in the first half with 5 sacks, and Houston still couldn't pull away. So, if there's a real team in the AFC South come January, then I'll believe it then. But I want to see it then. Let's see that division win a game in the playoffs.
What's the latest on the New England front on their quarterback situation? Because now third stringer Jacoby Brissett is hurt.
He's hurt, but I was in communication with some people, you know, with firsthand knowledge of that situation in that organization. And the people I was contacting were not freaking out. They weren't scrambling. They weren't talking about surgery. They say he's got a thumb sprain. It's 10 days before they play another football game. They feel like he'll be able to recover. They're not ruling out Garoppolo either. And those coaches and players are off tomorrow. So if Jacoby Brissett was getting thumb surgery and was going to be out long term, and Garoppolo was still iffy, then I got news for you. They wouldn't be hanging out with their family or on the golf course tomorrow or watching college football. They'd be working out, you know, Matt Flynn or whoever else. You know, they'd be working out five or six veteran quarterbacks. Who'd they have? T.J. Yates in there last week. But that's not what they're doing. So they don't seem all that panicked about it. They don't seem all that concerned about it. And I would tend to go, I'm going to follow that as my guide. When a team is desperate for a quarterback in a league where there's not many of them to go around, the moment you think you're strapped, you're calling four or five agents, you're lining up immediate workouts, and you're signing somebody in the next 24 hours. That's not the vibe I'm getting from the Patriots.
And here the Patriots are. A lot of people, two and two, that'll be best case scenario without Tom Brady. They're 3-0, Jason, and they've got a very good chance of being 4-4.
I thought 3-1 was what they were going to do before Garoppolo got hurt, when that just, you know, when it kind of looked like he was going to play all four games. I thought they would have a difficult task in that first game against Arizona, but I thought they'd make quick work of the AFC teams that they had to play, and that's basically what's happened. And now I don't give Buffalo much of a chance, especially with this Pats team coming in on 10 days rest, no matter who the quarterback is. I don't care if they just dress Julian Edelman and run Wildcat for 70 offensive snaps. I'll still pick Belichick over Rex Ryan in that scenario, given the state of Rex's team this year. So, and then they get the Browns in week 5 with Tom Brady coming back, and I mean, what's the point spread going to be on that game? If Miami's favored by 10 against the Browns right now, let's just say Garoppolo plays this week, and now they go into the Browns game, and they've got Garoppolo backing up Brady. What is that? Is that a 17? Are they 17-point favorites? Are they 21-point favorites? The Browns are absolutely inept. I mean, that I don't even know if that Vegas will put that game on the board. Do you even need to play it? Like, just whoever. Like, just for the sake of the Browns trying to finish their season, don't play it. They'll be on the seventh quarterback by the end of that game. Just don't even play it.
He's Jason Lacanfora. He's our NFL insider from CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. We'll leave that game for a second. Couple league-wide issues. What's going on in Tampa Bay? Austin Seferian Jenkins, tight end, into a little legal trouble, and apparently that's spilled over into some NFL employment trouble too.
Yeah, they've terminated his contract. He's on waivers. He is a tremendously gifted, physically gifted athlete. Who has the ability to be an upper-tier tight end in this league. His decision-making, who he surrounds himself with, and sort of what's between his ears is the problem. This is 2 DUIs for him in, 3 years. Mm-hmm. He certainly will be looking at some discipline from the NFL, you know, assuming this goes through the legal system as you would expect. Now, that's not going to come until next year in all likelihood, but still, he's now going to be in this, you know, further in the substance abuse program, and he's going to be looking at discipline. But I think somebody will claim him. I do. I mean, you look at a team like Arizona, you look at a team like the Jets. There's some potentially contending teams that, boy, if it did click there, if he did get around the right group of veterans, if he could clean himself up, and that's always what these GMs are trying to figure out. I just wonder if somebody claims him. He's not making a lot of money on his rookie contract. It's a chance to buy low on him. Obviously, it's deplorable behavior, and you know, I don't even want to think about how many people lose their lives to drunk drivers every year. It's disgusting, but it happens, and these guys get second and third chances. So I understand why the Bucs said enough is enough, and you know, and they're trying to go in a certain direction there, and especially when you have a guy like Jameis Winston, who is already a bit of a lightning rod for various off-field reasons. You know, they're going to have to cut the cord with some of these guys when they deem it appropriate. But it's a shame that this is a kid who, on the Sundays when he shows up, and you could tell he's not bleary-eyed, and he did the right things the previous night. He could be a difference maker, but there haven't been enough of those Sundays yet in this career.
Speaking of Tampa Bay, they've got the Los Angeles Rams.
Don't
this
worry,
weekend.
We'll still be doing it in January. We'll be talking about them in January. We'll still be calling them the St. Louis Rams in November.
Yeah, we probably won't be talking about them in January.
Let me get rewrite on that. Yeah, I know it won't be January.
You retweeted something really interesting on the Rams yesterday, though. Through 24 possessions this year, 16 punts, 3 field goals, 2 interceptions, and the retweet asked, when is it time for Goff? And it's a fair question right now, because it's not like the offense can be any more inept under him.
No, it can't be. I think I'm starting to look at the bye week. It's pretty clear that Jeff Fisher feels like he's got to protect this kid, and that with given this the supporting cast or lack thereof right now, and given that Fisher's coaching career is tied to him or whatever becomes of his coaching career over the next 3 to 5 years. And I do believe at this point that Jeff Fisher, there's already a contract extension that's been signed, and it's sitting in, you know, the dresser drawer next to Stan Kroenke's bed, assuming he sleeps in a bed. I don't know. I could see Stan Kroenke maybe just sleeping upright or maybe even like hanging from the rafters like a vampire or something. But I digress. Anywho, I think that's stashed somewhere. And if/when this team wins a couple games in a row, then maybe they announce it formally. And then maybe that, you know, opens things up to start looking more long-term than week to week. But their schedule's fairly tough here in terms of the defenses that they face. At this point, if you've resisted it this long, I don't think there's any way you make the move unless you know the kid's going to have 2 weeks to practice. So I think they have a week 8 or week 9. It's right around the middle of the season. I would target that at this point.
With Jason Lacanfora, he is our NFL insider from CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. Every Friday here on The Big Show, just a few more for you, taking a look at some of the interesting matchups in Week 3 on your Sunday afternoon. How do you see the 2-0 Vikings and the 1-1 Panthers going head-to-head, and in what is definitely one of the marquee matchups this weekend?
You know, the thing that's troubled me about the Panthers is their defense. You know, that's been their hallmark, been their calling card, big part of their identity. But even last week, I mean, they gave up 30 points to Blaine Gabbert. The week before that, Trevor Siemian moved the ball on them, you know, more than I thought he might. And Sam Bradford looked pretty good in his opener. And I actually think, and I talked about this a little bit on air on the morning show earlier in the week, I actually think the loss of Adrian Peterson is, I don't want to say it's much ado about nothing, but this guy's run 2.9 a carry for, you know, his last 8 games, and the running between the tackles and him trying to get away with some of the second and third moves behind the line of scrimmage like he used to be able to when he was 25 and not 31. It's not there. So I actually think a little more Jerick McKinnon will help that offense. I think they'll use the screen game in lieu of a traditional run game and throw the ball to McKinnon, who's a better back in space than Peterson and who is a better natural catcher of the ball and a better natural route runner. And, you know, we'll see who prevails here. I think Carolina's the more complete team, but they need to get after Sam Bradford. Somebody other than Coney Ealy's got to rush the passer. Charles Johnson looks like he's done. Obviously, they moved on from Greg Hardy a while back. So much as everybody talked about how they're going to replace Josh Norman and, oh, my goodness, the secondary, it's actually been the front seven that's been a bit of a concern. So, we'll see if they can turn that up against the Minnesota offensive line. That's been not even pedestrian. I mean, it's been worse than pedestrian. It has not done any favors to its quarterback.
What about the battle of the Pennsylvania unbeatens? 2-0 Steelers, 2-0 Eagles.
Well, I think Carson Wentz is going to get a little lesson in, you know, the haves and the have-nots in the NFL. And, you know, it's been great for him that he's been able to ease his way in against the Browns and against the Bears, who they don't know anything. They're not playing defense there. They're putting up a little bit of resistance, but not much. But now, you know, Pittsburgh, they look really good this year. They're stopping the run. They're not going to let Carson Wentz be a guy who goes out there and throws the ball 55 times and gets away with it. So I'm interested to see the game plan there because the Eagles don't have a feature back. I mean, Matthews is always banged up. Sproles is an older guy. And, again, Pittsburgh's good against the run for the first time in a while. So I think the Steelers flex their muscles here a little bit. And for the first time, make this kid look like a rookie, which, again, no shame in that. That's what he is, and it happens to everybody. Go look at the film of, you know, John Elway and Peyton Manning in their rookie seasons. That's, you know, that stuff happens. So I think Wentz is due for a turnover, and I think it happens. And I do like the Eagles' defense, though. So I think they'll find ways to make things a little bit uncomfortable for Roethlisberger. I don't think it's necessarily a complete blowout, but I think it's a healthy win for the Steelers.
Jason, I know that it sounds like life is calling in the background, so we'll let you get to that.
We're fighting over mozzarella sticks. Yeah, mom is on a girls' night out, and yeah, we've got a little bit of battle royale here over who gets the last mozzarella stick. So,
all right, go officiate
that.
We'll talk to you Tuesday.
Okay, that's not nice. Hey, enjoy the games, guys. I appreciate it.